to the Gospel according to Mark. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter number 2. One other announcement, and that would be that we would love to have our men and your and your young men, your sons, to be here on Sunday morning for prayer, 8:30, and we're done by about 9:15, give you time to get home for the 10 a.m. service. But we have plenty of room. We're using the new area now for our prayer meeting on Sunday mornings. Please, men, make it a point to come this Sunday, 8:30. We sure would love to have you. And like I said, we're 45 minutes so that you can get home and so that we can get ready as well for the live stream. Mark chapter number 2. To me, in the beginning of the chapters where we're going to be reading and looking at tonight, one of my most, the most exciting to me, stories in the Bible. And when we say story in the Bible, we're not talking about fiction. All right, now we know that some things in the Bible, parables and things of that nature, but when we talk about a story in the Bible, we're talking about an event that takes place. And that's exactly what we see here in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 2. And I've always been imagining how this thing, this story, would have played out. And I hope that somehow maybe it's on replay. When we get to heaven, we'll be able to see it on a cloud. You know, they can show it up on a cloud, and we'll see exactly how it took place. And let's begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, Mark 2, verse number 1, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house." And I believe that we could conclude that this house is Peter's house, because we go back, a good chance of that, we go back to chapter 1, verse 29, and it talks about another house, and really chapter 2 is just a continuation of that. So, you know, I think it's pretty safe to say that, but if it's not, it doesn't change anything, but it's just the thought there. "And straightway," again, remember, Mark's gospel is very fast, it's a fast-moving gospel. It's a shorter, the shortest, I believe, of all three Gospels. And so that's an indicator of that. We see that many times in the book of Mark. "Many were gathered together at this house," Peter's house, "insomuch that there was no room to receive them." Standing room only. "No, not so much as about the door." So they were not practicing physical distancing. I say, God bless him. "And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy." Means that this gentleman could not walk. His legs would not carry him. He was crippled. And so he was completely dependent on other people to get him anywhere that he was to go, "which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him," unto Jesus, "for the press," okay, remember, we know that's not talking about the Vancouver Sun or the Times, it's not talking about the press, it's talking about the amount of people that are there, okay, "they uncovered the roof where he was," he being Jesus. "And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Now here's our theme tonight. When Jesus saw their faith. Tonight we're speaking on this theme, visible faith. Our theme this year is strong in faith, giving God the glory, from Romans chapter 4, verse number 20. Here the Bible says that the faith was visible. "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Heavenly Father, thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for, as believers, thank you for giving us your Spirit to rightly divide and apply and understand the Bible. And Lord, we're grateful for that tonight. We do need your Holy Spirit in this meeting, as we do every meeting. Lord, I pray that both speaker and listener alike would be emptied of self and filled with the Spirit. It would not be my words, but it would be your words, and that we would apply it however you lead us to apply it. And we know that's the beauty of your Spirit, is that you will apply a biblical truth, a biblical passage in so many ways to each individual person listening tonight. And we're grateful for that. And it has nothing to do with the preacher. It has everything to do with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So we ask you to do that again, anew and afresh, in Jesus' name. Amen. Several days after Jesus Christ arrives back in Capernaum. Now, this is his new headquarters, if you will, and this is where he branches out from. It doesn't take long when Jesus comes into the city of Capernaum, or any city for that matter, that when news travels through the city, word of mouth travels through the city at this point, that there's going to be a large gathering of people wherever he goes. And that's exactly what takes place here in Mark chapter number 1. There is a large gathering of people. They want to see Jesus Christ. They want to hear Jesus Christ. Possibly some of them are there because they know of his miracle-working power. And so maybe they're there out of curiosity, though, just to see something take place. Maybe they're genuinely there because they want to hear him preach. And it's not just about the miracles. And that's exactly what happens in the text, though. Did you see that in this story? At the end of verse 2, the Bible says that he, Jesus, preached the word unto them. And that's exactly still what we need. 2021 is we need to preach the word and be instant in season, out of season. And whether we are a pastor, whether we are a born-again believer that is not a pastor, you're either the pastor or helping the pastor, okay? That's what Pastor Sexton always teaches, and I agree with that. And for a lot of my life, I was helping the pastor. And I've been honored for the last 20 years almost now to be the pastor. And I don't feel worthy of it, but I'm thankful for it. I am an under-shepherd. He is the great shepherd. And so, but the important thing is that we don't lose sight of the priority of preaching the Word of God. And so remember, our life preaches too. We see that here tonight. We see these four men. Their life preached, and it was recognized by Jesus Christ. It said that he saw their faith. And so, we don't know what the message was that day. It doesn't tell us in the Bible, but I'm sure the Lord Jesus would refer to the Old Testament as he did other times, and he would preach as he did before. Look at Mark's Gospel, chapter number 1, and verse number 14. Verse number 14 says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." And so again, preaching the gospel, preaching the word, and preaching about the power of God and the kingdom of God, and possibly about the salvation of God. Look over at Luke chapter 4 quickly. Luke chapter 4. And we see in verse number 18, the Bible says, Jesus here says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted." And he's quoting and reading from which prophet? Do you know? Do you remember? It's just in the previous verse. Isaiah. And so again, preaching the word. Here is Jesus, who is the word. Right? John 1:1. "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God." Here is the word, who is preaching the word. And so a great challenge for those of us that have the opportunity to teach or preach: stick to the word, and it will do the work. Amen? And to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And notice verse 20. He closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down. How about that? Preached the word of God. He just read from the book of Isaiah. And we're thankful today that God, through his Son, is the living word. And so we not only have this book that is alive, but it's seated at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's the scene. If it is Peter's house, we're not going to debate about that, but let's just say, we're going to say that it is. It's Peter's house. It's packed and jammed, wall to wall. I can imagine, if you will, people standing outside the door, outside the windows, if they're able to see through them, maybe going over and grabbing something and putting it up. Maybe a child has grabbed something and putting it up in front of the window because they believed in that song, Little as Much as Well. And so they needed to get taller a little bit and so they could look in that window. And they had heard all about it. They had heard all about what was going on. And Jesus was preaching and they were having a time. They were hearing the word, preach the word. And all of a sudden, as you know, many of you have read the story, all of a sudden the meeting, the church meeting, was interrupted. And in this day, they would have had homes that would have been flat roofed. So don't picture the house that you live in right now, unless it happens to be flat roofed. But most of us don't live in a house that has a flat roof. Some do. But my wife actually grew up in a home with a flat roof, now that I'm thinking about it. But not a whole lot. They have a pitch to them. So don't think for a minute these guys are trying to scale a roof of 2021. Mainly a flat roof, and they were with palm branches and mud and so forth. And a lot of them had stairs that led up the side of them. More than likely, that would have been the case too, you know. We kind of get the idea of, and again, I'm not saying that that's definitive, but I'm saying what would have typically been the case in Capernaum in this time, that would have been the way. But these four men bring their friend to the meeting. They have the idea that if we can get our friend to the meeting, then there's a good chance that he could be helped by the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they get there, the door was blocked, the windows were blocked, and everything that could have been gone wrong went wrong because there's no way to get him in there. And in many cases, this would have been a very discouragement, and maybe they would have just turned around and gone back home. And that's not what happened in our Bible lesson tonight. And by the way, don't let a roadblock in your life keep you from advancing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let Satan put up a stop sign when you know that God wants you to go, all right? When God wants you to go, Satan's going to put up stop signs and bridge out and all of that. Ignore what Satan's trying to do and say, there is a God of the impossible, and with God all things are possible. And that's I love that about these men. We'll talk about that. Well, that's not what happened. So up they went on the flat roof, uncovering the mud, uncovering the straw. And I've heard people tell this, and I've probably said it before too. You know, imagine what was going on. All of a sudden, you know, some clay pieces are falling down on Jesus' head maybe, or some straw pieces are falling down. Surely everything stopped when the hole started to form above them. Surely everything did, and we know that's the case too because we find in our text verse, verse number 4, that he was watching. I imagine Jesus stopped and watched. That's what I imagine. It's okay to have an imagination, right? He stopped and watched what was taking place. And it was quite the scene. And Jesus sees what takes place, and the men lower him down into the meeting. It was the only way to get him in. We see that in verse number 4. The reason why they went to such extreme, because Jesus was their friend's only hope. He had no other hope for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in a world today of people that are sick. They're sick of palsy, not this kind, but they're sin sick. You know what they need more than anything else? They need somebody like you, and they need somebody like me to take them to Jesus. Love them to Jesus. In some ways, even carry them to Jesus. Amen. And maybe not necessarily picking them up, but giving them a ride to a meeting or whatever it may be. And as the Lord enables, there's so many ways we can look at this. This is the case for everyone in the world. They need Jesus. Let me give you quickly several observations that I've written down about these four friends. And again, we're looking at this theme, visible faith. Number one, they determined to do what was difficult. They determined to do what was difficult. Whether they had a ladder or not, whether it was a flat roof or not. You try carrying somebody laying down on a gurney or on a cot, not a gurney, on a cot, dead weight. Now, it's completely dead weight. Now, you know what I mean by that, right? That isn't meaning they're dead. It means they can't do anything for themselves, okay? We got some people here tonight that know a little bit about moving people like that, okay? And I see their heads bobbing up and down, and I hear the rattling when they're moving their head. Just kidding, guys. And you try to move somebody. It doesn't matter if you've got four people, but you try to move somebody that can't do anything for themselves, and it's difficult. And they weren't just walking into the house. They're walking up the steps, even if that's what it was. And they're getting on a roof, and they're uncovering the roof. It was a difficult task. It wasn't easy, but they were determined to do what was difficult. And they knew, again, that Jesus Christ was there to help. But notice it says in verse number 5 that Jesus saw their faith. You know something I've observed in this story, reading it many times, we do not hear these men speak a word. I mean, probably they said something, but nowhere in the Bible does it show us them talking. But yet their testimony has been speaking for hundreds and hundreds of years. Their faith is still speaking tonight. That they would not allow a difficulty to keep them from doing what they were determined to do. They determined to do what was difficult. And this thought, faith was written all over their face. Bible said it. Jesus saw their faith. Trust was in their eyes. Every expression revealed confidence in Christ. They didn't need to say anything. They knew that if they could get their friend to Jesus, that something great was going to happen. I want to challenge you with this thought. Faith is something that works from the inside out. Faith will be seen. Yes, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But when faith is brewing in your life, it will bubble out and people will know that person has faith. How does that person go through this? Faith, and we can see it. And we don't even have to tell people we have faith. I'm not saying tonight that I want you to think I have faith because I tell you that. No, it is my desire to be like these four men. It is my desire that Jesus would look at me and see my faith. And by the way, he looks right through you and right through me. He knows whether we have that faith or not. Would you hold your place in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 2? And by the way, I'm not talking about saving faith, although that is what's necessary first and foremost. James chapter 2, please. James 2. Faith is something that works from the inside out. Hebrews, James. James chapter 2 and verse 18. The Bible says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. What's the next two words? Show me. Show me. Yeah. The Missouri, right? The show me state. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will what? Show thee my faith. How? By my works. And so while we do not get saved by faith, it is very evident here that James tells us that the writer of James tells us that our faith is something that is to be visible, and we will show it. We show it by our works, and so that's exactly what these men did. They believed Jesus Christ could do anything before they went over to their friend's house and picked him up. They already believed it. Their actions of taking him there were a byproduct of the faith that they already had inside of them for their friend to be able to be helped by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, number one, these men determined to do what was difficult. Let's not allow the difficulties of life to discourage us from living for God. Could this be a difficult time for you? It very well could be. It very well could be. I'm not saying it's not. But, you know, remember, there's been difficulties before, and there'll be difficulties again. Here's the good news. God's faithful in all of it. All right? And so let's determine to go through the difficulties by faith. That's what these men did. Number two, they determined, and God help me with this one. They determined to work together. Now, you know, you get four men, every one of them has got a different way to get from his house, their friend's house, to Peter's. Oh, you know what? I know a shortcut. I was over there earlier today. They're doing some construction over there. If we go over that way, you know, I'm just saying it's evident that these men would have to work together. They determined to work together. Four men, each man took a corner of the bed and off they went. I'm thankful they would not only start together, but they would all agree on the route to take to get to the house. You know, I love these words within the text. It says, verse 3, they come. They. Unity. Then it says, they uncovered. Work together. Right? It says, they had broken. It says, they let down the bed. And then when, verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith. It didn't say when Jesus saw his faith. It said when Jesus saw their faith. They determined to work together. Can I encourage you tonight and challenge us, Anchor Baptist Church? We have this need tonight. We must work together. We must labor together. If the world is going to see Jesus, it's got to see the church of the living God working together, giving God all the glory for it, letting that faith come from the inside out, a church that is unified by truth, that is seeking to accomplish the will of God. It is vital. If it's ever been vital, it's vital tonight. And it's not for the church's glorification. It's for the glory of our God. May God help us not to be double-minded. James again says in verse 1, verse 8 of chapter 1, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And might I say, a double-minded church would be the same. I like the emphasis tonight that Pastor Nathan mentioned, reminding us once again about prayer. We need to pray together. Yes, we need the closet ministry of prayer, but we also need the corporate prayer time together. Think of this. They determined to work together. We've got to determine to pray together, to agree together on the behalf of current church and the future church as God tarries his coming. They determined to work together. Number one, they determined to do what was difficult. We're saying this is how their faith was viewed. They did the difficult. They worked together. Number three, they determined to do the unusual. This was not the usual way of making an entrance, was it? You say, we have a front door, you know. Use the front door. Well, that wasn't available. You know, take a window out. Let's just go through the window. That wouldn't even be a usual way in, then, would it? They determined to do the unusual. They were willing to think completely, utterly, completely outside the box. For them, it was not business as usual. It would take some planning. It would take some thinking. And I don't know that they were planning on the way there. I don't think so. I think this just came about. And it was God leading them and God moving in their life. It would take some ingenuity. It would take some creativity. The point was this. Get our friend, to Jesus. Get him to Jesus. And think about it, all the different ways in the last year that God has allowed us to get Jesus to people, or get people to Jesus, however you want to look at it. And it's been a very unusual year of ministry. Coming up on almost 1 year now. This is the 10th of March. I think our last Sunday service In a normal way was March 15th of last year, I think. Somewhere around in there. Almost 1 year of unusual ways. And I agree with our missionary that the Online Baptist Youth Conference in the Philippines, over 5,000 kids in the network now. We had a Canadian revival conference last year that was supposed to be in in Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. It's going to have to be online again this year, it looks like, too, April 25th to 28th. Write that date down. Let's be praying about that. Unusual things, and we could go on and on and on all through it. But even and we read prayer letter after prayer letter after prayer letter of our missionaries in the last 12 months that said this. Do you remember hearing this or reading this? If it hadn't been for this, we would have never reached this person. It happened over and over and over and over again. What is that? That's faith, regardless of doing the unusual and doing whatever it is that God enables us to do. So again, look at the glass how God wants you to look at it. It's half full, not half empty. These men were willing to do the unusual. One more. They determined not only to do what was difficult, not only to work together, not only to do the unusual, but lastly, they determined to do what was costly. This is a roof. I mean, think about it. You know, this is not, you know, taking the door off the hinges to get somebody in and then putting the door back on the hinges. This is putting a hole in a roof. And this is Peter's house. I wonder what Peter thought about this, you know? That clay starts falling down, and all of a sudden here's a big hole, and Peter's over there, and he's looking at it. We don't get that part of it. That's not in the Bible, but you can use your imagination a little bit. Peter, you know, was someone who would talk first and think about it later sometimes, and maybe he got a little upset. I'm not saying he got upset. I'm just saying, think of the scene. This is not something of a minute issue. This is a hole in somebody's roof. But think about it. It was something of temporal value. Right? Faith says, I don't care what it costs me. If I know God wants me to get this person to Jesus or help this person get people to Jesus, I want to be involved in it, whether it costs me something or not. I want to be involved in it. I'm determined to do the costly, because when they got him to Jesus, if you read the whole story, we won't for time's sake, but read the whole story, not only does this man get healed, but this man got saved. So what did it matter of a one hole in a roof? This man, for all eternity, has been in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ because some four guys, friends of his, said, we're going to do what's costly. It doesn't matter. We want you to get to Jesus. Wow. These men were willing to do whatever it took to bring this man to the Lord. May that heart beat within me as well. May that heart beat within you as well. And it may not be it costs money, but maybe it would cost some time on your knees, if you're able to. Again, praying for a lost family member. We're not talking about doing something extra biblical, but we're saying it does cost something. People are always more important than property. Think of it. Why? Because people are eternal. Property is temporal. These four men, another thing about them, it's not part of the outline, but another thing, we don't hear them speak. And like so many times in the Bible, we don't even know their names. Isn't that something? No names. Just four men, four and a four. We don't know the man's name either that was healed. His name's not listed there. We know this. There was something about these four men that the Son of God, Holy Spirit of God, in inspiring, giving us the Bible, said, we want you to know. You don't have to know who they are by name. You don't even have to know who the guy's name is that got healed. But I want you to know something. Holy Spirit, in giving the Word of God, said, Jesus, verse number 5, Jesus saw their faith. See, this was a visible faith. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying for a visible faith. How about you? I'm praying for a faith that says difficult, that's okay. God's going to help me. God's going to help us. I'm praying for a visible faith that brings us to work together for the cause of Christ. Striving together, right? Philippians 1:27, I think it is. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. For the faith of the gospel, that it would be visible to do the unusual. A faith that says, it doesn't matter. It's unusual. It's not. We're not violating the scripture. We're just going to do whatever God leads us to do. It's unusual. Don't worry about it. We're peculiar anyway. I mean, going up knocking on somebody's door is unusual. I hope we can start doing that very soon. That's unusual. Still, I met someone recently who was a Jehovah's Witness. Met him recently, and he said, "Well, you know, as you know, we haven't been doing our, we haven't been able to do our whatever." I don't remember what he said. That's not the point. And inside, I'm thinking, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." You know, sorry if you. No, I'm not apologizing for that. Another good thing about COVID-19. Hallelujah. We got to find all these things. You know what? And praise God, 106,000 tracks last year. Hey, keep praying for the gospel mail advance, by the way. You know, on a side note here, over $1,000 has come in this year for the gospel mail advance. Thank you. Thank you. The unusual, mailing it in, handing it out, whatever. I'm saying we want that faith to be visible and then costly. What's the value of a soul? There is no value. Can't put a price tag is what I mean by that. And Jesus saw their faith. By the way, it wasn't their faith that saved this man. Your faith can't save anybody. They have to believe. But our faith brings them Jesus. Jesus makes all the difference. Let's ask God to help us. I would say in the last 12 months, it's been a little bit difficult to have a visible faith. It's challenging. It is. Okay, let's just be very honest. Still hand out gospel tracts. Sometimes they don't take them, but a lot of times they do. Okay. But God has been working through your life. So many stories in the last 12 months of how God has worked in a very visible way. We praise Him. Jesus looks at you, and when He looks at me, could it be said of us the same? When He saw their